Thank you, Gail. Okay, today we are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it has about 58 verses. So we are looking at the first part of it, which is the first 30 verses. And the theme here is David and Goliath. And we'll look at the first part this week and the next part next week. So chapter 17 of 1 Samuel emphasizes the victory of David over Goliath, demonstrating the triumph of faith over fear. It also shows us that the battle is indeed the Lord's. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The chapter is divided into two parts. The first part, which is the study today, highlights how David came to the battlefield where Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. The second part of the study will focus on how David won the victory over Goliath and his army. So we start with introducing Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 to 3. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephidim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. The verses above demonstrate how we are in conflict with our flesh as long as we live. As we have indicated in previous studies, the Philistines represents our flesh, and this conflict with our flesh is what is spoken of in the word of the Lord as follows: Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. In verse 1, we are told where the Philistines were gathered, from Shochoh to Azekah. The names of where the Philistines were gathered show us some of the characteristics of our flesh. Shochoh means hedge, which can mean limiting an action. This implies that our flesh, signified by the Philistines, is limited in terms of its ability to derail the Lord's elect from the prize. Azekah means tilled. The Philistines' residence stretching to Azekah implies that the carnal mind of the flesh, powered by the devil, can dominate those in whom the Lord is preparing their hearts and mind. Our Lord Jesus warned us that when an unclean spirit leaves a man, he comes with seven more spirits to reside in the man whose heart and mind is garnished. That means tilled or prepared. That is why we must test the spirit to see if what is said is of the Lord or the carnal mind of the flesh. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and taking with himself seven other spirits more wicked than him. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. The fact that the Philistines were in Ephraim, which means the boundary of blood drops, suggests that in our fight against the flesh, we do not have to resist to the point of shedding blood. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Saul and the men of Israel were camped by the valley of Elah. In the scriptures, valley represents places where we are tried and tested just before the Lord elevates us spiritually. For example, Psalm 84, verse 6 and 7. Who passing through the valley of Baca? Baca means weeping. And it is when we are undergoing judgment and being tested that we weep. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well? The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Again in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. And I will give her vineyard from there, and the valley of Achor, which means troubled, for a door of hope. And she shall sink there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. So we are talking about valleys representing places where we are tried and tested before, just before the Lord elevates us. The fact that in verse 3, the Philistines were on the mountain, whilst the Israelites too were on the mountain with the valley between them, signifies that we must be full of the flesh before we are judged or taken through bitter experience in the valley, resulting in our elevation to become part of the children of Israel, who in this case, in this particular instance, denotes the Lord's elect. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4 to 7. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Goliath's stature, protective armor, and weapons of warfare typify the formidable opposition of our flesh. Goliath means exile, and Gath signifies wine press. This shows us that the work of the Lord is to exile or cast out the flesh of the elect through judgment. That is the wine press in this age. In verse 4, one of the notable features of Goliath was his height of approximately 6 cubits. Number 6 is the number of man. And therefore, this shows us that Goliath represents our flesh. Height in the negative context denotes pride. One of the notable characteristics of our flesh is this pride in lifting ourselves or not submitting to the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 10. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because thou hast lifted thyself up in height And he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his hat is lifted up in his height. Ezekiel 31:14 says, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their heights, all that drink water. For they are all delivered unto death, to the neither parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. In verse 5, Goliath's body armor weighed 5,000 shekels of brass. Brass or copper, on a negative note, describes our carnal state in Christ, which must be purified with a furnace of fire. What this implies is that the carnal mind of the flesh is what protects it from the truth of the word of the Lord. The number 5,000 signifies our carnal state in Christ, such that we cannot understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21 says, and they that were eating were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. This is talking about the 5,000 multitude that Jesus fed. They were not part of the disciples, and therefore they were just here. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? If we are called and chosen by the Lord, then in the fullness of time, the stronger man, that is Jesus, will grant us victory over the carnal mind of our flesh as he disarms the flesh. Luke chapter 11, verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and devised his spoils. Goliath's weapon is the spear, which spiritually is the same as the sword. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22 says, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people of Israel that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. We're talking about the sword and the spear being the same in this regard. In the negative sense, the sword or the spear represents false doctrines. This is supported by the fact that Goliath's spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. The number 600 is composed of 6 2/10. That is, I wrote 2 instead of 6. 600 is equal to 6 times 10 times 10. 6 is the number of mass, and the number 2 and the 2/10 represent a witness to the fullness of the flesh. This implies that the false doctrines of man's wisdom and tradition is what is spewed by our flesh. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. It is through false doctrines that the devil empowers our flesh and therefore deceives the whole world. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. It is also instructive to note that there is one who bears Goliath's shield before him. The person bearing his shield represents the false teachers and apostles parading in the corridors of the church system of this world. These false messengers come as angels of light, spewing false doctrines of man's wisdom and tradition to strengthen the flesh. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9 says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 to 11. And he stood and cried out, and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. As indicated, Goliath represents the formidable opposition of our flesh. Since creation until the time of Christ, no man was able to overcome the flesh except Jesus. Jesus is the first overcomer. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And overcoming the world means overcoming the flesh. Goliath throwing a challenge that the Israelites should choose a man to fight him, and that whosoever wins become the Lord, is to let us know how our flesh makes his boast through the false doctrine that no man can overcome him. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 says, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Saul and the people of Israel, becoming dismayed and greatly afraid in verse 11, shows us that as long as we remain in the church system of this world or Babylon, we are not going to overcome the flesh. This is due to the false doctrine that no man is able to make war with the beast or our flesh. How David entered the battlefield. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 to 15. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. It just means that he was very old during the time of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. In the previous study, David was anointed with the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. This serves as the beginning of the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his creator. The fact that David was the 8th son affirms his new beginning or the new man in him. Since the number 8 represents new beginning or the new man, David therefore signifies the Lord's elect. The number 3 denotes the process of spiritual maturity through the Lord's judgment. The fact that Three of the eldest sons of Jesse went to battle the Philistines, implying that it is through judgment that we must overcome the old man or the flesh. In verse 15, David going from Saul, who symbolizes the church system of this world, to take care of his father's sheep means that we must leave Babylon to become part of the church of the New Jerusalem or the firstborn. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, presented himself 40 days. We're talking about Goliath, who comes every morning and evening presenting himself for 40 days. The number 40 signifies the period of trial and testing in our lives. Goliath presenting himself for 40 days to the Israelites without any challenge shows how when we were in the church system of this world or Babylon, we were not given to enter the rest of the Lord, since we were always erring in our hearts and mind and had not known the Lord's way of overcoming the flesh. Psalm 95, verse 10 and 11. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. The fact that David was sent by his father Jesse to send food to his brothers and the captains of thousands in the camp of the Israelites signifies that there is lack of food or the word of the Lord in Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall not eat bread by weight and with care. They shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be as stoned one with another and consumed away for their iniquity. As indicated earlier, valleys represent places where we are tried and tested just before the Lord's elevated spiritually. Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines in verse 19 implies that they were being tried and tested. As we shall see later, none of the men of Israel or Saul was able to confront Goliath in the valley. This suggests that when we were in the church system of this world of Babylon, we were tried and tested and found lacking the ability to overcome the flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 20 to 24. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines has put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. As we have shown earlier, David represents the Lord's elect. The fact that David was not part of Saul's army facing the Philistines is to show us that David had left Babylon. In verse 24, all the men of Israel fled from Goliath and were afraid. This demonstrates how our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world are not given to overcome the flesh in this age. On the other hand, David was not afraid when he heard the words of Goliath. It shows us that it is only the Lord's elect who are favored to overcome the flesh in this age. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of grass mingled with fire, and them that have gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of grass, having the house of God." 1 Samuel 17, 25 to 27. "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that kills these Philistines and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that kills him.'" Verse 25 shows us the reward for overcoming the flesh in this age. The king enriching the one who kills Goliath signifies being enriched in Christ as we overcome in this age. This is a continuous process as long as we live in the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says that in everything you are enriched in him, by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The king giving his daughter to the one who overcomes Goliath symbolizes the overcomers becoming the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 17, verse 7, 9 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lord, of the Lamb. And he says unto me, These are the true sayings of God." The third reward for overcoming in verse 25 is that the king will not require his father's house to pay taxes. That is what it means to be free. As we overcome and are being enriched in Christ, we come to realize that we are free from the burden of the law of Moses, which includes tithing, which is equivalent to paying tax. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 26 says, "When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the true drachma tax went up to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the tax?' And he said, 'Yes.' When he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, 'Why, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?' And when he said, 'From others,' Jesus said unto him, 'Then the sons are free. Indeed, we are free from all financial obligation or anything of that sort. We are free from the law of Moses.' David ensuring, inquiring about the reward for overcoming Goliath in verse 26 indicates that David, as a symbol of the Lord's elect, had respect for the reward. As we are aware, the Lord Jesus was motivated by the joy that was set before him or the reward. Similarly, Moses also had respect for the reward. As the Lord's elect, we must be motivated to overcome in this age because of the or by the reward set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 to 30. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why came thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. It is important to note that in verse 28, David's brother Eliab was angry with David's inquiry about the reward for defeating Goliath. Eliab represents our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon, whose anger is kindled against us when we question their beliefs about the future reward. Just as Eliab did not think that David had changed inwardly and was pointing to David's pride and naughtiness of heart, our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world do not consider us as inwardly changed from our former way of life. They consider us as dead in the streets of the church system of this world, or Jerusalem, that is Sodom and Egypt. Revelation chapter 16, chapter 11, verse 6. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. As David turned from his brother Eliab to someone ready to provide him with answers about the reward in verse 30, we must turn to those who are willing to help us understand the joy that is set before us. May Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 says that, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Like what David's brother was doing to David. May the Lord grant us the grace to have respect for the reward. Amen.